Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome into Willie and D-Mace here on this June afternoon. Nice and warm. Willie Donick and Hal Gill for a third straight day.
Sick and tired of you yet, buddy?
Not yet, man.
Not yet.
No, this is good. In fact, I was thinking, what if we? There's all these things that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. These are good signs, right?
We're getting Andrew Raycroft on today, and he's the originator of Gilled Out. You know, he's the one that said, "Hey, listen, Hal, you need to leave me alone a little bit. I've had enough of you. I'm Gilled Out." He was
all
the one that started
out.
That. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, give people
know, I'm a lot. I'm
give
a lot
people
to take.
A little background because he's coming on with us in an hour, and he is an excellent hockey analyst. Which is
yeah, he's doing a great job.
Tonight is Game 6. It's going to be. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say it's going to be the highest watched game in a Stanley Cup final in a number of years, and it's not Boston versus New York, you know, or L.A. versus
Detroit. Yeah, it's not the usual suspects that you would think would be the big
Who would get those big ratings, right?
But I think...
But it's going to be a very widely watched game.
Yeah, well, Canada's going to watch... Everyone will watch it.
Is anybody not watching it?
They have to. Like, it'll be mandatory. I think it's mandatory viewing. If you want your health care, you have to watch. but I think there's a lot of people that are just enjoying this series and what it offers. The star power, the great action, the back and forth, the storylines. It's a lot of fun. So tell us.
So Andrew Raycroft, if you listen to satellite radio, he does stuff for the Bruins. But he's a former goalie in the league. He was a teammate of yours. But tell people about him.
Yeah, it's actually a great story because he won the Calder Trophy as a goalie, the Rookie of the Year with Boston, and he was my teammate. He came in and as a young kid, wasn't even old enough to be at the bar, but I still dragged him out there.
That's how you get gilled out.
That's how you get gilled out. But he was younger than me, but we became best friends, and when he got traded to Toronto, I signed in Toronto, and so we hung out in Toronto, and he lives in Boston now and married a girl from Boston, and so I still see him quite a bit, but he's now working with Nesson in Boston and doing a great job and doing some goalie coaching, but he's really got a good pulse for goaltending, which is a big topic around here, so it'd be good to pick his brain on that, but we'll get together in the summertime and sit down and crack stories for way too long.
So that's going to be a fun segment. We're going to do most of our hockey analysis during the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get, like he said, goalie talk. We know about the Saros, Askarov question for the next 4 or 5 years. Everybody's got their opinion on what they think the Predators should do. What's the way to go? We're trying to get as many informed perspectives.
Yeah,
internally and externally, he'll be a really good perspective from the outside to see what he thinks about that. Plus, Boston has a very unique goalie situation that's going to change. Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman, two excellent goalies that are at crossroads of their careers. They're probably going to have to break up that tandem, but we'll get his perspective
Swayman
on that.
Took that job in the playoffs, but who knows how that's going to play out.
Meanwhile, the Predators have made a move on their staff.
Yeah.
Dan Hinote moving on, and Andrew Burnett brings in somebody that's got a very deep background with him, and Darby Hendrickson. Now, Darby Hendrickson, your generation playing, I'm sure you played plenty of games
against him.
Yeah,
we're about the same age. I played against him a bunch. He was in Minnesota for a long time, but I played in the World Championships with him a couple, maybe two or three times. Great guy. Just a good old Minnesota boy, very mild-tempered, cool, but just a lot of fun to be around. Just a really good, solid guy. I'm excited to have him around. He'll be a great influence on the younger players. When he played, he was really smart, really like an intelligent player. He was a shot blocker. He was, you know, penalty killer, but just really intelligent. So he's going to be good to have around a good group of guys and some young guys as well.
So when you say Minnesota guy, like was this a
oh, you know, just Dolly G, he would have a great day out there.
But was it like the movie Miracle where the Minnesota guys, were you like Jack O'Callaghan, you know, challenging the Minnesota guys to fight and stuff?
Those days were over. I think, yeah, there's still a little bit of ribbing, you know. Anyone that is a Twins fan, like, what are you doing? get rid of the Twinkies. So, yeah, there's some ribbing there, but, you know, they're good people, the Minnesotans.
Nick, what do you conjure up when you think of a Minnesota guy? Like, oh, what about the food in Minnesota? What is it known for?
Fish good old guy
from the lakes?
God,
like, you saw
know.
The Twins come catching out with their walleye City Connect, and it was the ode to the lakes? Like, that,
I mean, what is out 10, there in the lakes? I mean,
what is out there in the lakes? Like, what do you catch out there?
Walleyes and
walleye?
Musky, and it depends on how far north you go, I think.
Well, whatever's out there, just deep fry it. Just go a little southern. Just deep fry it.
Can't go wrong with that. Just okay. Fry that sucker.
Deep good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Maybe have some, like, I don't know, potatoes on the side.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. It's Scandinavian base, right? There's a lot of Scandinavians that came and settled in
the
Minnesota.
The Vikings. Yeah, that's why they have the
Vikings.
Yeah.
Skull, you know.
Something hearty on the stomach there.
I can go along with a Vikings fan. I'm okay with the Vikings.
Yeah. So Darby Hendrickson joins Andrew Brunette's staff. They played together. They were also assistant coaches together. So Andrew Brunette clearly feels like he's on the same page. They have the same philosophy. So other than Derek McKenzie, everybody else was sort of inherited by Andrew Brunette. And so as is customarily the case, I think I see a lot of staffs go this way.
Yeah.
The longer a coach sort of gets entrenched, slowly but surely he might bring a few more guys.
Yeah, and Richards, is, of course, they have a pass as well.
Yeah, so Todd Richards was actually the head coach for the Wild. Darby Hendrickson was an assistant coach on that staff.
Right.
Yeah. Was Andrew Brunette also? Andrew Brunette was with the organization.
He was with the organization, yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so they got their little circle,
realignment.
Realignment. But I think I just think the trust, you bring in your guy and you have some trust there. Or if it's not your guy, it's someone that you can trust.
I think I'll have to check this. I think Hendrickson was an original Minnesota Wild. He was obviously part of those early days. So somebody like the late Greg Johnson or Tom Fitzgerald, he was the foundation of the new franchise.
He's just Mr.
And then
Minnesota,
Andrew Brunette went there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's got it in him, you know.
So that'll be
so we're pulling him out.
Yeah, we'll get to know him and as he gets entrenched here, so a new addition to the staff. A couple other things. And Nick, I know you watched this broadcast. Hal, I don't know if you got the chance to see much of it all. Fox had the big broadcast. There weren't a whole lot of other sporting events last night, but the game at Rickwood Field.
And I missed it. I got home after that golf, and I
– Oh, yeah, Willie, we got to talk about that for a second.
My goodness. Yeah. I don't know how much more I can
– You had an early bedtime last night?
It wasn't an early bedtime. It was early couch time.
I jumped
in the pool, tried to cool off. I didn't cool off for quite a bit.
Other than going to the mall for a couple hours and shopping, you know, or tagging along with people who are shopping, I'm not really a shopper. Golf wears me out. Like when you hit the
heated
end of
golf.
A golf round,
sauna golf,
heated
wears
golf,
you off.
Boom! You just hit, you hit the wall.
How did golf go yesterday?
45.
I would like to know.
30 minutes in a mall and I'm done. I get the mall back. It'll crush me.
All right. So
any hole in ones yesterday? I'm just curious.
I didn't see any hole in ones.
I didn't see it. I had a handful of shots that I'm proud of, and the rest,
not so much. You were talking about the snap hook. That was the
It
reared itself.
Some trees know my name now. You better respect me.
I was feast or famine. I really feel like I hit a lot. Even you know, that's usually the one thing I can hit a few good drives, even for a good team that might contribute. Like you might take my shot, even with some decent golfers. Yesterday, I was really on my game with that. I hit a lot of really quality drives. But I also lost a ton of balls.
Yeah.
On the, my approach shots and chips, just brutal. Like, yeah. In that course at Hermitage,
Hermitage
you go into the rough, it's gone.
Yeah, they're putting, like, these big, bulky plants. Like, can you just mow that down? Like, just make so it can, a bad lie, so but at least let me see it.
Yeah, just give us a chance to find it,
you know,
if it goes over there.
The sad part is I ended up with more golf balls because every time I was looking for mine, I found seven others.
The net result is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you clean them up, right, Nick? And then you got some.
And you sell them to Play Against Sports. That's what you do.
Ooh, okay. Play Against Sports.
Quick story. When I was a kid, my dad lived over where Twitty City Ballpark was.
Okay.
And so.
So you kind of were the R.A. Dickey before R.A. Dickey.
You could say that. Yeah. And so, anyways, the foul balls would always. My grandmother, my dad's mom, lived right behind Twitty City Baseball Park. So there is a giant parking lot, and then her fence, just her property lined up right on the back side of it. So every time there was a foul ball went behind home plate, it would bounce into the parking lot, into her, like, I guess, fence area. And so every Saturday when I was about probably 4 years old up to about 11 or 12, we go into the woods, get brand new baseballs. Never spent a dime on a baseball.
Yeah.
And so recently we had to clean out the garage, and there was probably 3,000 baseballs. And so I didn't tell my dad. He's probably finding out now. But
so you're like the dog in the Sandlot.
Basically
compiling
so.
A lot of balls.
Yep. Yeah. And the so beast. I compiled you're all like these the baseballs that were not good to use anymore. Sold for like 78 cents per ball, I think. Came home with a good chunk of change.
Okay.
There you go.
R.A. Dickey, in his book, he chronicles this, you know, Nashville product, knuckleballer, Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah.
But for a long time, and he writes about the struggle. Like he went through being a conventional pitcher who had some injuries. They found out he had no ligament in his arm, the Tommy John ligament. He lost it when he was a kid or never had it to begin with. It was really odd. And so they did the MRI, and he got lowballed on the signing bonus. So he went through a lot of challenges before becoming a knuckleballer and a consistent pitcher for a long, long time, including a Cy Young Award winner for my Mets.
Yeah.
But he said, to get a little extra cash during spring training, he would go at night to the local golf courses and get around the water. And he would even go swimming in the water
just
and
get
go
the
down
ball finder,
and just,
right?
Yeah,
the,
and
the,
just
the extended pole.
I don't know what
you probably have that in your bag, don't you, Willie?
A range finder.
Well, that can come in handy. That ball, can't come in handy.
The ball scooper.
So I don't know what he used actually, but he would come back with, you know, tons and tons of golf balls, and then he would sell them to his teammates. Just in the locker room for, you know.
Smart guy.
Throw them in a sock, sell them for 20 bucks or 30 bucks, and then you, next thing you know, you got a little extra cash in the pocket.
Go. Entrepreneur right there.
Yeah.
In high school, I used to clean baseball shoes and cleats and stuff for 20 bucks a pop.
He said every now and then.
Next time
though,
I'm
in Florida,
I'm going to leave my shoes out there. But
there are alligators down there.
Just make sure it doesn't stink is all I ask, all right?
Yeah. So there was some danger there with the alligators and whatnot.
Hey, it's a risky take.
You got to be careful. The snakes will jump at you.
Yeah. So with the baseball theme, the Rickwood Park broadcast, Fox put in a great effort to try to do some different things and honor Willie Mays especially and the Heritage, the Negro League part of it. Good stuff. In fact, in the fifth inning, they actually did a broadcast from what television looked like in 1954. Black and white, the whole nine yards, like replays in like regular speed. They didn't have slow motion back there. They could show the play again, but they couldn't show it in slow motion, so that was a good time machine. They did a good job with
that.
Put
a filter on the broadcaster's voice and make it sound like it was from the 50s. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so, it was good.
My grandparents still have one of those TVs, by the way. It still works like a charm.
It's got to be hard to criticize the referees when you can't go in slow motion, though, right?
Right. The replay challenge system was not
on a fuzzy,
there.
On a
you
fuzzy.
Hear Barry Bonds, by the way, before the game, they asked, what would you do if Satchel Paige is going up against you? He goes, oh, I'd take him yard. And everybody
take him deep. Yeah, without even
laughing. Yeah.
Yeah, without even thinking about it. Yeah, they told many a story about some of the greats. You
cool
know,
broadcast, really. Though. Like, they did
yeah,
a good
I
job.
Yeah, I thought
it
was good.
Game.
They brought in Bob Kendrick, who is has become a really good spokesperson, baseball ambassador for the heritage of the Negro Leagues. And, of course, there's so much history there with Willie Mays as a 17-year-old starting there in 1948, like we were talking about with Tyler Kepner on our show the other day. So they hit it from all different angles. And just that's a cool park, as we were talking about the last couple of days. It was full. It was a good game, 6-5. There was plenty of stuff happening. So well done by Major League Baseball. We're going to have Ask Hal. Now, we have Ask D-Mace every week on the show. Fridays at 12:30, Hal. So first of all, you got to step into this role. You're ready for that?
I'm ready.
And you have experience in doing this.
I've done this post-game shows.
Post-game shows on this station. After the Predators games, we would have the Ask Hal segment. So I want to get people's minds going now because in about 15
anything
minutes.
Anything is open.
Yes, because it's not just hockey questions.
It's, you know, like one of the things we talked about is a hot dog a sandwich? Is it considered
see,
a sandwich?
These types of debates, I'm sure Nick is a foodie. He could weigh in on that.
These are the things I can discuss.
Oh,
you know?
Boy. I don't know if hot dog's a sandwich.
And then there's
I
another
don't believe
one.
It is.
There's another one is, you know, can you put the ketchup on the hot dog? That's another fiery debate.
Once you turn 12, somewhere around puberty, you grow up and you don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
What about relish and onions?
Oh, yeah, relish, onions, mustard, just no, you know, kraut. You can put it all. Jalapenos,
yes.
You can load it up. They're just ketchup does not go on a hot dog.
Well,
I knew
why for
I
example,
liked Al Gill.
Yeah, and for example, D-Mace had the door open to him on hash brown casserole through, you know, the non-sports questions of Ask D-Mace. So the field is wide open.
Yeah.
You missed
and that's
it
the fun
day,
of it.
Al.
That's the fun of it. So we're going to do that. We're going to have Ask Hal. You can obviously ask him sports questions, things like that. Boston, the Celtics, by the way, are having their parade. My daughter is up there with her roommate, who is a diehard.
Who flew from Spain.
Flew back from Spain to be at the parade. That's how much of a Celtics fan she is. That's and, of course, she bought a Kyrie Sucks T-shirt.
Yeah.
Not like Celtics champions. It's
no, it's
the masshole angle of just that. That's how you know it's an authentic.
Boston. You go to the Red Sox parade and it's Yankees suck. Like they don't even play the Yankees and it's still Yankees suck.
They don't even care. Yeah, it's just it's all about just
your second favorite team is the Red Sox and your first favorite team is the team that beat the Yankees.
Yes. So you can any Boston related, you know, Boston sports etiquette, Boston sports history. Hal's got you there. So there's. I'm just kind of whetting the appetite of our listeners of what they might want to ask here. 615-737-1025.
By the way, you know my favorite T-shirt in Boston of all time was a picture of Johnny Damon, and it says, looks like Jesus, loyal as Judas, and throws like Mary. After he left the Red Sox and went to the Yankees.
Yeah, and he shaved the beard and the long hair look, and he had to do the Yankee thing where you can't have facial hair.
But, you know.
Because it was WW, what would Johnny Damon do was the big thing when he kind of had the Jesus look.
Yes.
For lack of a better term, as a Red Sox, and he went to this clean cut. He's on the Yankees now? Come on. So. You knew the Red Sox were going to have a field day with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's just and then you could go back generations.
Another parade in
T-shirts
Boston.
T-shirts from Boston.
Huh?
Another parade in Boston.
Just
another
day. They already have the map. They just do it again.
It's all laid out.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's coming up in a few minutes. Speaking of Boston, though, you wanted to talk about a speech you heard from Tom Brady. It's pretty interesting because Brady is going to get back into – I think the mainstream more when we start seeing him on a weekly basis in football season.
Yeah.
And there's all this build up to how he's going to be in the booth. But you saw him give a speech here recently.
Well, he was brought into the Patriots Hall of Fame, got the red jacket. And his speech for that is something that everyone should listen, especially parents of young players, young athletes. He just talks about and he delivers it extremely well. I never thought of him as a great speaker, but he's gotten so good. And this speech is just, you know, encouraging everyone, let your kids play football. I know it's dangerous, but let your kids play football because it's hard. It's hard sacrificing and waking up in the morning and having double sessions. It's hard when it's hot and you're sweaty and you're tired. But it's the camaraderie and being around, you know, similar people that are working hard towards a common goal makes you a better person. Anyway, I'm not giving it any justice because Tom does a great delivery and great job sending his message home and then pays it forward to his teammates with the Patriots that we worked hard to commit to each other to win. And that is what is more special than anything, more than the money, more than a scholarship, more than anything else. It's that hard work and camaraderie, being a part of a team at a young age and what that does for you.
The because it's hard has always resonated with me, and you can keep going on all the different things. You can make long lists as a person that, number one, grew up as the son of a coach / athletic director, and this was at a Division III college. This wasn't for the money, the championships, the scholarships. but just watching a team operate, and you build habits that are going to
exactly,
and you watch those people become adults. That's why I've always valued sports.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of had it. It was always ingrained in me. It was almost second nature. But you find as you go forward, and look, I've been doing sports talks for years. We talk about how much money a person makes. Have you won any championships? Did you get a scholarship? All of these things that are fine, but the real value of playing sports, I think, goes so much forward, especially now in this day and age of when a kid is offered $500,000 to transfer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it really – you can't ignore that, right? If you're a kid, like, hey, we want you to move up from this mid-major college.
Yeah.
And now you can play in front of 15,000 every night or 50,000 every day if it's football, depending on the sport. Packed houses, TV, play for a national championship, and we're going to pay you $500,000.
Yeah. That's all great. That's all. And don't get me wrong, go for it. Live your dream. But, you know, parents out there, send your kid to. And I'll tell you this.
Value for people that don't ever even get to play in college.
I played football. I played hockey. And then I played baseball in the spring. I wasn't a very good baseball player. I learned the most from being a baseball player because it's really hard to hit a curveball. And I worked at it. And I struggled. And I went through it. And I took swing batting lessons. I wanted to be good so bad. And I worked at it. And I got more value out of working so hard. I could throw a football and I worked on it, but I was good at it. And so hockey, I could skate, I could boot, I could shoot. So that came easy to me. Baseball really challenged me. And I think it made me a better athlete, but a better person.
Yeah.
Just that struggle.
I think it's easy to lose sight of those things in sports, especially today where there's so much stimulation about all the other stuff. But even for people that just – because I think it's pretty well known, the participation of kids is going down in all sports, not just football, but football
and
for sure.
Kids
stop playing. For teams, 12 or 13, because they're like, oh, I'm not going to get a scholarship.
You know how many parents I hear say that? Well, he's not very good, so he's not going to play. What? Yeah, why?
That's not why we play.
Does he like it?
That's not why we play.
Does he like it? Does he like hockey? Well, like, let him play. He can play in the G-Nash. He can play hockey. There's plenty of places for him to play where he can just go and have fun. He doesn't have to travel around the world and spend a bazillion dollars like I am, lunatic parent.
I am too.
Like, go play sports and have fun and for the lessons. And that's what Tom Brady got at was that's because good. It's hard, because it makes you a better person.
All right. It's time to open up the phone line, text line, and it's brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ask Hal coming up. The field is wide open. You want like Netflix recommendations for the summer? Hal's got you. He and I have watched hours and hours of shows on planes going from all over the place in North America. We've got experience in this area. Hal's got you covered. Hockey questions for the Predators coming up. Sports questions in general. All of the above. 615-737-1025. You can call or you can text. You know the drill if you listen to the show. Stay tuned. We're just getting started here. Andrew Raycroft, a lot of hockey talk. We're going to boil it down. Game 6 and Pred stuff at 1. And then Steve Hutchinson, good buddy of Hal's, NFL Hall of Fame offensive lineman. Titans fans probably don't remember him as much because he only played, one season, I think.
Yeah, one season,
One season for the Titans towards the end of his career.
Banged up his knee pretty good, too.
Yeah, but obviously an unbelievable body of work. And Titan offensive line today, one of the biggest topics going in the city. So we're going to really pick his brain on just the art of offensive line, where he sees it going, and his thoughts on how the Titans can maybe fix their biggest weakness the last couple of years. They've had all kinds of problems in that area. 615-737-1025. We're getting started here on Willie and D-Mace, 1025 The Game. We're back here on 1025 The Game. Willie and D-Mace coming your way, and it's time to take our shot here on Friday of Hal Gill trying to fill the role. Well,
after the show, Hal.
Some of my team yesterday on the golf course.
Yeah.
I have to say, our sponsors for our 615 Golf Classic yesterday, there was plenty of, shall we say, refreshments and amenities, and my team took part.
Are you talking about the Twin Peaks one?
Well, that was one of the stops, yeah. Well, that was one of them.
All over the place.
they offered all kinds of different beverages.
And it was, yeah.
I mean, whatever you mixed drink.
Every hole. I was like,
it's like wait a minute, we got to pace ourselves here.
And I've already lost 10 pounds of sweat. I don't need the alcohol in me.
You had to balance it out. You had to do some work there. Yeah. But it was, man, it was no short. It was a party. There's no question about it.
We had a good time.
We had fun.
A good time.
Okay, so it's time to ask Hal. Normally it's Ask D-Mace, as all of you know, listening to the show. D-Mace is on the European tour right now on vacation. He'll be back with us soon.
Update on D-Mace. France. He's in France.
He's gone from Italy to France.
He's in France.
Okay.
So we have a little tracker, I guess. He sends in, you know, little pinpoints. You know, he's like,
where's D-Mace?
He's right there.
Like, where's Waldo? Yeah. Is he wearing the Waldo getup so people can?
He's probably got a beret.
I really hope
he
is.
He's doing it. He's doing it all out.
Doing it right. You get it. When in France, you got to
really
wear the beret.
Small cigarette.
Okay. 615-737-1025. Ask Hal. Let's see what we've got here. Hal as a hockey. This is, let's see. Don't have a name on this texter. Hal is a hockey fan. I would love to hear how we got blessed with you on our broadcasts, with you playing and winning. Why us?
Why
Nashville?
Because I played.
I mean,
you
played in a lot of different places, but
played here
Nashville
for 2 years,
among them.
And
yeah.
I really love Nashville. I you know what? You know, with three kids, they were at Ensworth, and we loved the school, and you know, we looked and always thought about coming back if we are ever going to move, and you know, so we loved Nashville, we loved Ensworth, and then I called the Preds and said, is there anything I could do to while I'm down there? And then Bob Cole made a poor decision and brought me on the broadcast, and I've been having fun ever since.
Let's see. Ask Hal either how he got under NHLer's skin, or does he have a favorite funny story about Pete Weber? So you have option A, option B, Andrew and Tullahoma.
How many stories do you want about Pete Weber? The guy is, I mean, he is such a legend, and he's got a story for everything. One of my favorite stories, Pete Weber's story, is, and you've seen it all the time, Willie, right? And it happens every hotel we go to. Someone bumps into him and says, hey, you're Pete Weber, right? And then he goes, you know, I remember the time. It was June 21st and 1984.
Right.
And Pete will go, the day that so-and-so hit three home runs at Wrigley Field.
Right.
And the guy will go, how did you know? He just said the date. All he said was the date.
And he filled it in from
and
there.
And he filled in the rest. And the guy's like, yeah, I was at that game. He's like, that's amazing. And did you see this? And then they have this conversation. And Pete does that everywhere he goes. It's amazing.
Yes. And always it's seamless. And all of a sudden that it strikes up a conversation from there.
And a lot of people don't know this. When you're on air with Pete Weber, and you know this, Willie, there is a lot of jokes that he has hidden into his just,
yes.
You know, like – you know, if I say, hey, you know, they dumped the puck in the corner, and he goes, oh, I hope no one steps on that. You know, like, there's a dump in the corner.
Here's an example. You know, I'll give you an example right now. You ready?
Woman holding up a sign that says, surprise, I'm pregnant.
That could be quite a surprise.
Max,
do
you have some explaining to do? That's an odd way to...
To make the announcement.
To make the announcement on the Jumbotron.
Wow.
Welcome to Pittsburgh.
Maybe there's a reason Max came home on this trip.
But it's all the time with Pete. It's so much fun. Just a great character, but just like a wealth of knowledge that he uses everywhere. What was the other part of that question? I missed the other
615-737-1025 to ask Hal. Were you a chirper, trash talker? Did you try to get under people's skin?
I always try to get under people's skin, but it was more physical. I felt like the second I started chirping, unless it was a blowout game and it was just talking and busting chops a little bit, in a tight game, I stayed away from the chirping. But I was constantly working my stick. You know, like if you ever watch a face-off back in the day, like almost every face-off, I'd slash someone right on the top of their foot, you know, just to let them, you know, try to get a reaction from them, you know, like wait till the ref is looking away and give them a little butt end to the ribs, you know, just the little things, trying to get under a guy's skin. One of my favorite
stuff
things
that they would notice, but not everybody would notice.
One of my favorite things, and I actually have a picture of it, is, you know, the play's going up the ice, and I stopped Mario Lemieux. And so on the way up the ice, I was hooking him and grabbing him, and he turned around, punched me, and I turned around, punched him. And he had just come back from retirement. He retired. He had a bad back and cancer.
Still was scoring at will.
And then he came back in the game, and so he was chirping me, and he said, "You're the reason I left this game. This is, and you're the reason I don't want to play this game anymore." Like, and so I took a lot of pride in that. Like, not a chirp, but just ribbing him a little bit. And he was referring to the hooking and holding.
Right.
You know, the game. I try to slow the game down as much as I could, and he wanted to play a skill game, but I wasn't letting that happen.
Okay, we've got Gary on the line with us, 615-737-1025, as we go to the phones here, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hi, y'all. Gary Johnson here. My friends call me Big Gare, and good to have you on there. Hal, I got a story and a question for you. The story, right. I was down at Bridgestone Arena getting season tickets. I'm going to be in the 200 right at center ice. I'm at this well-mannered gentleman. I believe his name was Nick Barzowski. And he grew up in Michigan. He said he grew up playing hockey. He hurt his knee or his shoulder or something like that. But if he had kept playing, he would have been as good or better than Hal Gill. So I would like to comment on that.
Nick Barzowski.
Barzowski, yeah. I think his name
was. Right.
Really nice guy. And the other one is, with McDonough gone now and Carrier ain't signed, what's Barry Trotz going to do there in the offseason for the defenseman? And hope to see y'all at the Beer Fest tomorrow. We can have a cold one together. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, y'all. Y'all do a great job.
Big Gary and I are going drinking tomorrow. We're going to have a couple beers. I'm excited about that.
We appreciate Gary calling the show. Yeah. Big Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Nick Barzowski, you know what? He's works media relations. Is that what? He's now the director.
He's moving up in the race. Move up
he's
in the
a
world.
Big deal.
Yeah, if Caroline moves up in the world, now we got Nick moving up.
Nick is moving up. Barn is, great guy. But, from what I've heard, he was a pretty solid player. He had some injuries. His shoulder is a little out of whack, but from what I heard, he was tough. He was like all his buddies. Every time I ask one of his buddies, oh yeah, he's pretty tough.
How many people do you run across, fans or whatever, especially like in hockey cities, that buddy up to you, maybe it's at a bar or something like that? I used to play, and they start telling you.
Oh
about,
yeah.
They could have been a great player.
In Canada, you can't go anywhere without someone telling you how they got injured in junior. Yeah. Otherwise,
and it short-circuited an otherwise Hall of Fame.
They're on a fast track to break Gordie Howe's record, and you know they their coach didn't play them, and you know my ankle just left. Yeah. You know, it failed me. Yeah, I hear that all the time. So that's always a good story to hear.
Yeah. That guy's always out there, right?
Yeah.
He's always out there. Just a matter of whether you can run into him.
And we talked about the defensive question Big Gare was talking about was
replacing McDonough. These are big things coming.
Really hard to replace McDonough, but I think they're going to have to get on the market. And whether they free up and make some moves to trade for someone or sign a free agent, I think there is, you know, when you lose McDonough, you lose a big hole in that defense, and that needs to be replaced. So I don't think there's a guy in the system right now that you can count on to fill those minutes. And so I think they have to outsource. They have to go out and get that through free agency. We talked about Pesci, Montour,
Brady Shea's out there.
Brady Shea.
Matt Roy is one that isn't as well known, but a good solid defenseman.
Yeah, there's options out there, but I tell you what, losing McDonough and his poise on the blue line is going to be tough to replace. So we'll see what Trotz has for us.
615-737-1025. William on our text line says, ask Hal, what was the best Chinese food you've had on the road, and what's your favorite Chinese restaurant?
Oof. Favorite Chinese restaurant. That's a tough one.
That is tough.
Because I will tell you, I had one in Boston, and it was right around the corner, and it was lights out. Like the hot and sour soup. I'm a big hot and sour soup fan, and so like I'll kick off with that, and then beef teriyaki.
So you're a buffet guy? Do you like?
I'm looking for a spot in Nashville. So if you have a good spot, please let me know. I like all kinds of food, and you know, I have a hard time going to a P.F. Chang's or a chain. So I'm looking for a little more mom and pop.
You like sushi?
I love sushi.
I got a place for you.
I love sushi. And what's it? Samurai Sushi down on – that's right down on
– Right. So I'm thinking sushi's a separate category than the – like I'm picturing the Chinese food of like, yeah.
Fried the Hufang
rice
Dung
and all that.
Yeah, and the buffet. Like some people like just the sit-down order from the menu, the Chinese food. I can remember that as a kid. And you get, of course, the fortune cookie at the end of the night. But then as a kid, that's the only thing you cared about, right?
Like, you giggle about the poo-poo platter. I want the poo-poo. The poo-poo platter is underrated. That's a great setup. When you get the scorpion bowl with it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Right? And you got to have the nice white tablecloth.
Yeah.
1-2 punch when you order it.
I think Ninki is one of my favorite. They're shutting down
the
Ninki and Bellmead.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. I've been there a few times.
Yeah. It's a shame. I think they're shutting down.
Another texter. How? Here's an open-ended question with only about 1,000 possible answers.
Is there any crab in Crab Rangoons? I don't think there's any crab in there.
An actual crab
Rangoon? I don't think there's any. It's just cheese in a
sometimes we don't ask questions, Hal. We just enjoy the, anyway, the delicacy. Hal, which of your former teammates was the best to go get a few beers with?
Oh, I had a bunch. Well, you've been out with Billy Guerin.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorites. Just a good old boy.
People here will relate to this night because they'll remember it was a big night. It was the night that Tennessee played Purdue in the – what year was it, Nick? 2019?
I think 19, yeah.
Not this past year, but the last time they played, it was the Sweet 16. Great game. It went to overtime. And even in Pittsburgh, people were honed in on that game because it was just a great game. And Bill Guerin just happened to be out in Pittsburgh to catch up with you.
It might have been 2021, I think.
And the banter at the table, I was very concentrating on that and also still trying to watch this great game. It was quite a night.
Yeah. Ray Kroft is one of my favorites.
He'll be on with us at 1 o'clock.
I played with Mike Knubel, a great guy. You know what? Sneaky. Shea Weber is a great guy. He's
something
really
people probably wouldn't
the
know.
Media.
Yeah,
he's very closed off. He's a great guy, but I have to say, Pecorine is just as fun as you could ever have. He's just he's got a big smile and he throws a the big laugh, like his deep laugh. It just it's just a lot of fun to be around him, have a couple beers and.
He has great hangability, right? He's not the guy at the center just
– yes.
He's not dictating all of the conversation, but he's hanging.
He's in on everything, and he's engaging and just like – and you'll sit down with – you have 12 guys at a table, and everyone will feel like they're the most important. When Pekka, he makes you feel that way. So those are the guys I like to be around.
Somebody just commenting on Big Gare.
Steve Hutchinson.
Okay, coming on with this at 2 o'clock.
Our wives set us up on our first play date and dropped us, because we had kids in school together. That's how we met. Our wives are like, you guys should get together. And we ended up watching Steel Panther at Music City Music Works. We had a good time. He's a good guy to have around.
Texter, as we go to the break here, says that Big Gare sounded like Foghorn Leghorn. Was that guy from the 1880s, he says.
I said. Something wrong with a boy who don't like baseball.
I've never met Big Gare. I got to find out who this guy is. He knows Nick Barnowski?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's a great call.
Sounds like Foghorn a season ticket holder, honestly.
Foghorn Leghorn.
You never know what's going on in Smashville.
You're a chicken.
All right, when we come back, we'll get more Ask How. This is off to a smashing start here. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in, call, or text. The text line is loading up, so get them in. We're coming back with more here on 102.5 The Game.
On the call tonight, the voice of the Predators, Michael P. Peter Weber.
Yep, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And who else is here?
Harold Priestley Gill.
Oh, yeah.
Preds
We're
and
fired
Pens
up
coming
here, man.
Up next.
We're ready to go, Preds and Pens. Let's do this.
I'm going to throw a chair off the roof of the building.
Yeah. I'm feeling it now. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we just had somebody that was compared to Foghorn Leghorn. What wrestler were you trying to...
That's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage. I saw somebody this morning
snapped
doing
into a Slim Jim, or he had constipation. I'm not sure which. Either way.
Now, Nick, check this. Macho Man Randy Savage. Did he play in the major leagues? He was a really good baseball player. I believe he played in the big leagues for the Cardinals or maybe the Reds. I'm trying to remember this. Look up his numbers, and we'll see if you do this.
I don't think it's under Macho Man. Did he play?
It's under a different Randy name. Savage? Yes, I don't think it was Randy Savage. No, I think he has a different name. But
I have a computer.
Maybe somebody can help me out here. Yes, 615. Yeah, maybe just Google Randy Savage baseball player. I know he was at least in the minor leagues. I don't know if he played in the. Okay,
I feel like a lot of wrestlers were there. You know, Dwayne Johnson played football.
He played for the U. Right. Yeah. He was good.
Yeah.
We're back to ask Hal. 615-737-1025. We've got people following up on earlier Ask Hal questions. Your favorite Chinese food, we have a couple of nominees from around town. Peking in Lebanon, best hot and sour soup. So if you're in Lebanon,
really? All right.
Up in Wilson County or over in Wilson County, they got you covered there. Sonobana on White Bridge Road, a good spot.
Yes, that is good.
Okay.
I will agree with that.
737-1025.
289 games, by the way, with the Reds and Cardinals.
Big league games.
Yep.
Big league games.
Minor league.
Minor league games. Not in the big leagues.
No
okay.
Big leagues. Yep.
Very good to know. Another texter, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As a player who spent his whole life wanting to win the Cup, how do you sort of use the perspective of how close you are when you're spending all your life to win it, even though you're down 3 games to none? Like the Edmonton Oilers were. Because they've done a good job of sort of refocusing and saying, we're out of it. We can't win it. Like they've rebounded well, and now we've got some really interesting stuff coming here.
Well, I will tell you, and this – I think this goes for everyone on all levels, from youth sports all the way. I think to be a good athlete, you can't have you can't be looking in the rearview mirror, you know. What is it saying? That's why the windshield is way bigger than the rearview mirror, right?
Yeah.
You need to see where you're going, and you need to focus on where you're going. And I think all you have to do is win the next game. And I think that's the mentality that certainly Connor McDavid has. And I will say the hardest thing to do in any series is that last game. Game four, to win it, is the hardest one.
To end a team season.
To knock someone out because – they're going to put it all. They've got nothing to lose. They're just going to give you everything they got. And certainly when you're up 3 games and nothing, there's always tomorrow. And you have that mentality. And so it's hard to put a team out. But the mentality you have to have is keep moving forward, keep playing this next play, and come, because summer comes quick and it hits you hard, especially if you lose early. Yeah, it stinks.
A lot of people hitting up the text line. On Ask Hal, JC in Goodlettsville, best player you've ever been on the ice with and the guy you dislike more than anyone else that you played against? As a player.
I played with Crosby, who's certainly one of them. Matt Sundin was outrageous. Ray Bourque, a phenomenal defenseman, my first partner. Played against Lemieux. Was lights out. I caught Gretzky at the end of his career, which was special. Sneaky guy, Alexei Kovalev, when he was on, was he scary. Those were probably the best. What was the second part?
Somebody you disliked on the ice, disliked playing against.
Well, I played with Matt Cook, and I played against Matt Cook, and I never liked him either way. he just was a dirty.
Matt Cook was suspended more than once.
Oh, just a dirty player, and you know he was. I joke, of course. I won the cup with him. He's a good teammate, but the stuff he did, I was just like, oof.
He played on some winning teams. He was one of those guys that would test the line,
yes,
right,
constantly,
and be willing to get suspended every now and then or fined if that's what happened. Yeah,
Sean Avery. I
think
just
he had a
despise.
Shot one time on Mike Fisher. Matt Cook did when Matt Cook was playing for the Wild. It popped into my head.
Yeah.
That would be not uncommon.
I think he hit Mark Savard in Boston, and I remember you know, I think they had a meeting before the next game, and they said, hey, this is going to be a full-on brawl, or you're going to have to give over Matt Cook. And he had to go fight Sean Thornton, and, you know, they set it up, you know, make sure that he had to answer the bell.
So, and this is a dirty dynamic. Hit,
and he had to go, and otherwise it was going to be a full-on bloodbath the whole game.
I talked to D-Mace about this element in football a lot, but for those two sports in particular, they're trying to weed out. Like, we can all think about football players, the safeties that would come over the middle, yep, and intimidate and walk the line, right? Chuck Cecil and guys like that, you ended up being the Titans defensive coordinator. Yep. But through the years, you wanted that reputation. John, yeah, Lynch, you know, who was the guy for the Raiders? Why am
who
I
was the psycho guy?
Jack
I think
Tatum.
He was a Boston College guy or BC. He was on steroids. He was a killer.
But you get that. You introduce the fear factor, but yeah, there's also a high risk of injuries, headshots as a result of it.
Yeah.
And they're sort of weeding that out of both games.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit. You can't weed it totally out, and you don't want to. You want the physicality to be part of it.
Yeah.
But it's different than it was.
Yeah. Yeah. The games, all the games are changing. You know, like they're putting in rules, like the new kickoff rule we were talking about.
Right.
They want to bring that. I want to see Phil McConkey. Remember, was he a Giants?
Oh, yeah.
You just run out, you get dummied. You'd run straight into people going 100 miles an hour, and you get corked and get up and love it. And
Steve Tasker.
Yeah. You know, like these guys would play a hard game. Romanowski?
Bill Romanowski would definitely be in that.
He was
category.
One of those,
yeah,
like
right on the
loose.
Line. Yeah,
but you know, we got to protect the players, and I think with hockey, if you're going around like Scott Stevens used to go and just crush people and blow up heads everywhere, and you know, Eric Lindros, who was out because of him, and you know, like you want to keep guys playing the game. You don't want brains to be mushed. So. We're trying to change the game while we're still respecting the physicality of the game. You got to change the game so you're not killing people.
615-737-1025 coming down the home stretch here of Ask Hal. Randy Poffo, several people have texted the text line. That was the real name of Macho Man Savage when he was a baseball player. And never did make the big leagues, but what did you say, almost 300 professional games as a minor leaguer?
289.
Good stuff. Let's see what else we've got here. Ask Hal, who is this? Is from Ryan. Favorite locker room personality, somebody who kept it light.
Marc-Andre Fleury, just the best. The night before Game 7, he was doing leaners in the hotel room.
What is a leaner?
Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. We're in Detroit, and he was
okay.
Doing,
so explain the leaner in the leaner hotel room.
So right. you fill up one of the small trash cans. Right, you fill it up with water halfway, and you lean it on the door, and then you knock on the door. And so when the person opens the
door, comes to answer the door,
the water floods down on their feet, you know.
Because the door is going to open inwardly.
It opens.
At a hotel.
In the hotel, opens inward. So
here comes the waterfall.
The waterfall right at your feet. And you know. And
so he did this before the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, the night before. He was running around doing that.
Game 7?
He would always, like, and the whole time, like, for lunch, he would sit underneath the buffet table, under the tablecloth, and then pour, like, sauce on your shoes as you go through, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know?
I've seen that happen in real time. Yeah. You just don't want to be the guy. Yeah. The shoe check.
And then he'd go sit at his table and knock the glass, and everyone would go, oh, no. Someone's got it.
Yeah.
Someone's got it, you know? And you hope it's not you, but. Yeah, just the constant stuff. You know, the shaving cream and the towel. So
right.
when a guy goes to grab a towel, he wipes his face and the shaving cream.
So this is one of
the
greatest.
Shower now.
This is one of the best goalies, Hall of Fame guy, yep, for sure. And he is a Hall of Fame prankster.
Just the best.
And he was a young player on that.
Well,
team,
you saw
right?
his prank this year at the end of the season. He put his teammate's car up on blocks and stole his tires and then put dirt and flowers across the hood.
It's kind of a cruel joke, honestly.
That's just going unreal. To big lengths right there.
Just unreal.
Putting
oh,
it
yeah.
on blocks. My goodness.
Just stole his tires. Yeah.
Were you pretty relaxed going into the final?
I always was super focused game time, but I needed to relax myself. So that meant routine and telling the same, a lot of the same jokes and laughing, and you know, you need to loosen yourself up. I always found myself, I needed to be at a 7, and if I was at a 10, I'd tell some jokes and it would bring me down a notch. If I was at a 5, I'd punch myself in the face a couple times and get dialed back in and get up to a 7. But I think you have to find that balance.
So no splashing cold water in your face.
It was whatever I could do to get me another cup of coffee, you know, like go punch a teammate, have him punch me back, you know.
Okay. I've heard of people.
Did some stupid things.
You say this about Bill Russell. He would throw up before the game?
I used to, yeah.
That make you feel better? I just can't. It's like the last thing on earth I want to do. If it happens to me, I just, it's just the fear of it.
Well, it had to come out some way. It was going, you know, that way or the other way. And, you know, you got to flush it all out.
Wow.
My stomach would get bad. I used to, yeah.
Speaking of stomachs, what's your go-to Waffle House order? You've lived in Nashville.
Waffle
long
House?
Enough.
Oh, I don't. I don't just. I just point at the picture.
Oh, okay. So probably All Star. Okay, makes sense. It's fair. Right? I mean, everybody's got their own All Star. I mean, All Star. They got their own Waffle House order.
I go Redneck Hibachi, I just take whatever I can get.
I'll have to use that. That's great. That's great.
That's what it is.
Do you remember the first time you actually saw a Waffle House? And because they're not in the Northeast, right?
No. This is going to surprise you, but I think I went when I might have had a couple drinks. I think that was kind of the first time.
It does tend to happen late at night. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've gone a couple of times. The one in Bellevue, there's one right by the rink. So, we'll go take a rip through there. I'm not a huge Waffle House guy, but I do enjoy it.
That's fair. There's nothing wrong with that.
See, Nick starts working. This is how he starts to get in your life, because he starts working you. Let's find out a few things. And then the next thing you know, you've got like 5 new restaurants that you're going to go see, 5 new types of food.
Yeah, you get to ask those questions. You start learning who the person is.
Yeah, we had Denny's up north. That
the
was
late
a big
night
one. Moons over Miami. That was a...
Miami?
Miami. It's kind of like
your hamstring.
Kind of like their eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
Hal, give me a weekend with you. We'll have a good time.
All right. This is good stuff. Great sessions of Ask Hal. Now we're going to ask questions to a guest, Andrew Raycroft, former teammate of Hal's, NHL analyst, works for Nesson, does a lot of Bruins stuff, but does a lot of national stuff as well. We'll talk about Game 6 tonight. And also, he's a longtime NHL goalie. He's got great opinions on the goalie market coming up. We'll talk a lot about UC Saros, Yaroslav Askarov, guys like that, and where it's going this summer, because it's always an essential question, especially here. Stay tuned. We've got hour number 2 coming up of Willie and D-Mace right here on 102.5 The Game.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.